magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 21st, 2017. Two more days till Thanksgiving. Of course, all week long, all month long, all year long, we've been thankful for Almighty God, all the provisions and methods and means he's blessed us and taken care of our every need. We thank God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit for being the great God that they are. Well, on today and tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, we have a real special treat lined up for you. As recently, my Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, joined me in the home studio as we called up Andrew Peterson, who's a singer, songwriter, author, gifted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming to our area, specifically to the Virginia Theater on Saturday, December 9th, bringing with him, I think, 10 other musicians as they'll present Behold the Lamb of God Tour. You'll learn all about it on today's edition of Mark and Friends. And before setting the stage with the song Behold the Lamb of God, by way of reminder, as it's getting colder out, if you haven't unhooked the water hoses from the spigots on your house, they have a potential of freezing up and then busting. Been there, done that. So before it gets too cold, if you're not using your garden hoses any longer, disconnect them and storm for the winter. That's my special tip of the day. All right, now I'll be featuring Andrew Peterson as he presents the song Behold the Lamb of God, and be mindful of these lyrics. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sins. Broken hearts, behold our broken hearts. Fallen far, we need you. Behold the sin of man. Son of God, Emmanuel, Son of man, we need you. Behold the Lamb, the hope of man. Behold the Lamb of God. Here's Andrew Peterson.
Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Behold the Lamb of God, the life and light of men. Behold the Lamb of God who died and rose again. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away our sin. Broken heart,
That was Behold the Lamb of God. That song and like a trilogy through the Bible to celebrate the Christmas message will be presented on December 9th by Andrew Peterson at the Virginia Theater, and you can purchase tickets at thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. And now on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends, you'll hear our conversation in its entirety as recorded recently, as we appreciate the music ministry that Andrew has and his desire to make this the most special Christmas ever for you. Here's how our conversation began. Jason, before I have you formally introduce our special guest on today's edition of Mark and Friends, Andrew Peterson, you were excited to tell me about his ministry of music, and I don't know if Andrew's ears were ringing recently, but you said, oh, Mark, after you hear him and hear the live version and the studio quality version and know what he's going to do, you said all the Great News Radio listeners are going to be energized and charged up on December 9th when he comes to town. But you arranged this and scheduled this and set this all up. Why and what did you find compelling about Andrew and his story and his ministry?
Well, it was interesting because not too long ago, somebody said, hey, you really got to hear this album. And it's a Christmas album, and there's a lot of Christmas albums out there that are just that. They're just kind of Christmas albums. And so somebody put it on my radar, and I downloaded it from iTunes, and I got a chance to listen to it. It's one of those things where initially I got frustrated. And I was frustrated because I hadn't heard it before. And I was like, why haven't I heard this before? I mean, there was points where I had to pause the music because I was really touched by it. And touched by the depth of it. I mean, I would love to talk to Andrew about the lyrics and those kinds of things because it's very thoughtful and it's very thought-provoking. I mean, you almost have to sit back and go, okay, wait, wow, what did I just hear? And so I was kind of frustrated. And then I started to tell all my friends, I said, hey, have you heard this? Have you heard this? Have you heard this? And they said, no, I've never heard that. I mean, it even went to the point where my wife and I, the other night, we logged in and we ordered 4 or 5 CDs. And I said, my wife goes, why are you ordering those CDs? I said, because I'm going to start handing them out because I'm getting frustrated that nobody's heard this.
And he takes us through the biblical narrative, right?
Yeah, he does.
Tell us about that. And then we're going to have...
Why don't we do this? Why don't we have Andrew tell us about this? Andrew, we're so glad to have you on the radio program. We're so excited that we almost forgot we have you with us.
That's so funny. But, no, I'm really glad to be with you guys.
Can you tell us, because Behold the Lamb of God is 18 years old, can you tell us why you wrote this album and why you wrote it in the way that you wrote it, instead of saying just releasing a Christmas album of the normal Christmas songs that everybody seems to do every year?
It started when I was in Bible college. I'm a songwriter, so I tend to be drawn to stories. And, you know, have never, over the years, put out a lot of records, but have never done a worship record or anything like that. Like, I'm not the kind of, I don't think people come to my shows because I'm such a good singer. But I do love stories. I love to tell stories, and my songs tend to be more narrative. And so it just was in my wheelhouse to do a record that was not just a collection of Christmas songs that everybody's heard a lot of times. And the spark of the idea happened, I guess it would be 25 years ago now, when I was a Bible college student, you know, who grew up on prog rock and hair metal and all that kind of stuff, and then heard Rich Mullins' music for the first time. And that kind of like gave me a paradigm, kind of like not only was it like the vehicle through which I kind of came to know Jesus, really, I'm a pastor's kid, but really was ambushed by Jesus through the music of Rich Mullins. So found myself in Bible college with this mashup of singer-songwriter stuff and also albums that had trippy covers and concept albums that told whole stories, you know. It's kind of a thing of the past in some ways. But, like, I was sitting in an Old Testament survey class in my freshman year, and I remember kind of it's where they do these, like, flyovers of the Old Testament in 2 semesters. And these were stories that I'd grown up with, you know, Bible verses that I'd memorized as a kid at BBS in Sunday school but had never pieced the whole thing together, like never realized the whole thing was one big story that God was telling. And I think that it's a little more common now for people to think narratively about salvation and the kind of like the narrative of salvation history. But at the time, it just blew my mind. And what happened was the professor, every time in the Old Testament there was a prefiguring of Christ or a prefiguring of his work or a prophecy or a Christ type, like in the person of David or Melchizedek, like the professor would stop and go and point out all the times that Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. And that was just something that I'd never realized. Somehow I'd grown up my whole life in church and never realized that the Old Testament is just as important as the New and that Jesus is the main character of both of them.
You're preaching to the choir right now.
And so So that was the thing that lit me up. And the way I've described it before is it felt like my parents had, in my childhood, all the Bible verses I had memorized were like stringing up the Christmas tree. And then that professor was the guy that plugged it in.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I could see the way that it all connected. And I was just, it was really a pretty overwhelming experience. And that was like, it appealed to the part of me that loved great books, you know, like everything from the Lord of the Rings to Star Wars to Narnia, like all of this stuff that just kind of like all the yearning that I had in my heart for a big story, a big epic tale with a hero who conquered a dragon. It was like realizing that was all there all the time in scripture was just kind of a life-changing realization. So the idea was, how do I write a bunch of songs and sing about the incarnation of Jesus that isn't just about the birth of Christ, but is about why he had to come in the first place? And so the thing starts way back in the Old Testament and kind of marches its way forward.
And you do it all through song, right? There's no talking other than your opening remarks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. One way I put it is that nobody's going to come out on stage dressed up like a camel.
you got to be kidding me.
No camels. No camels. No. The whole idea was we're going to try to kind of cast a spell with the music and let the audience get lost in a story that's being told through music and the lyrics in a new way, like do something that, as far as I knew at the time, nobody had tried. And so I remember the first couple of years we did it, we were just so nervous, like, I hope people get it, you know, that there's not going to be scripture readings in between because the scriptures are in the song.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked to our great delight.
So why did it take, I mean, we're 18 years later, and it took 4 years before it even made its way onto CD. Can you tell us some of the story about how that all happened?
Yeah, well, I was on a different record label at the time, but the record label, I had put out my first record, and it did pretty well, and that was when I started writing the songs. I was touring with Fernando Ortega at the time and bouncing some of the songs off of him. And I went to the label and I was like, hey, I've got this crazy idea to write a group of new Christmas songs that tell the story. I told them the whole idea. And they were like, that sounds great and all, but I don't really think anybody's going to buy that record. And I was like, okay, but we're still going to tour it. So we did a tour, went great. And then the next year, you know, it gave us time to tweak the songs and, you know, refine the thing. The next year I did a big show in Nashville and I was like, okay, I'm going to invite all the famous friends that I have. And so we got Phil Kagi and Fernando and, you know, a bunch of other people. I was like, people won't maybe not come to see me, but they'll come to see them. And sold out the show in Nashville and did the show. The label came, they all cried. And I was like, can I record it now? And they were like, we don't think anybody's going to buy it. I'm sorry. So it took until they dropped me from the label. And the first thing I did once they dropped me was record this album.
Hmm. Wow. So what is it like? I mean, now it's 18 years old, and every year you kind of dust this thing off and you bring it back out. I mean, is it like revisiting an old friend? Or I mean, tell us, what is that like?
Yeah, well, I'm very careful during the rest of the year because, you know, I tour throughout the rest of the year, and I have nine or 10 albums. That's like my normal job is touring and kind of doing my, you know, more folky James Taylor type shows. And so I'll do that for the rest of the year, but I never play any of the Christmas songs, like mainly because I don't want them to get old. You know, I don't rehearse it until the band is all together the day before we leave for the Christmas tour, because it's very precious to me. I really want to be able to feel the power of the music. And so the day that this becomes rote is going to be a sad day for me.
Oh, and what is it in terms of playing it? I think that I listened to an interview, I forget where I heard it, as I was trying to learn a little bit more about the album and how you were coming about writing it. And one of the people who they interviewed said that this for you is more than just the album, it's a community project.
Yeah, that's part of what makes the thing special. We hear that a lot. You know, right from the beginning, I knew that it wasn't the kind of record that I couldn't pull off the performance of the thing, just me and a guitar, me and a piano. Like, it needed to be you know, I wanted there to be a woman's voice singing the song that Mary sings, and I wanted there to be different voices happening in the thing. So the making of the record was very much a reflection of the community of songwriters here in Nashville. But then taking it on the road, because of the fact that the Christmas portion, the Behold the Lamb of God portion of the show is only 45 minutes long, we were like, well, we can't really do a show that's only 45 minutes long. So the idea was make the first half of the show songwriters in a round. And so all the guests on the tour have a chance to just kind of like play whatever they want. We take turns. It's this very fun kind of friend, like we're all old friends. And so we get to kind of sing our latest songs or whatever we're doing, so the audience gets to know us. And then after the intermission, we come back out, and all of these same people, without any introductions, we just sing the songs that are about the thing that has changed our lives.
Well, the Great News Radio listeners are going to get to know you and your friends on December 9th. It's a Saturday night at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, as you're going to come to town and share the Behold the Lamb. And so have you been in the Champaign-Urbana, East Central Illinois area before? Which I know
you have been.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually grew up in Monticello, lived there until I was 7 years old. My dad just retired from the ministry after like 50 years of preaching. And so he preached at that little church for 7 years, I guess, in Monticello. And so I remember growing up seeing the Fighting Illini guy dancing around the high school gym, you know.
So you're stirring some of our listeners right now, because there's still like controversy on, you know, designating a new mascot and all that. Everyone's going through.
Well, all I know is that's what I remember. And so last year we played at the same theater, and just it was one of the highlights of the tour for me. Beautiful place to play, and I love coming back home to Illinois.
So is there, when you're on tour and doing Behold the Lamb of God, every year do you find that maybe there's a song that you go, wow, this song this year is the one for me? You know,
the funny thing is, like, I'll feel some, like, resonant kind of emotion at some point during the show, but it's almost always at a different space. It'll be a different moment. It's usually when I look out at the audience and I see somebody who's being moved by the music, and it's happened on different songs every time. So the story, I used to get so nervous about doing these shows, like, is it going to stop working? I hope it works this year. And what is the magic sauce that's going to make this show? And I got to make sure I protect it, you know, that kind of thing. And then after all these years, I've realized that we could do a terrible job, but if we convey the story of the coming of Jesus into the world to redeem his people, then you can't mess that up. Like, it just is, like, the power is in the person of Christ, and the fact that as best as we are able, every night, we're trying our best to draw our attention to him and to bring him glory in the thing. And I don't want to make it sound like we're super pious. We're knuckleheads, but there is, everybody on that stage is leaving their families behind, leaving their churches behind. Nobody's getting rich off of this tour, you know. We're all doing this because we actually do believe that Jesus and God became incarnate and conquered the grave. Mm. And we're telling a part of the story every night of the tour. And so that's the thing, is like it does always move me because of that.
You're listening to a conversation recently recorded with Andrew Peterson as my Wednesday and Friday co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo joined me in the studio. And we'll continue right where we left off at this point in the interview on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. But as Andrew mentioned, the importance of telling a story, and I thought, why not closing out with a familiar song and story, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks, and this is a part of his Behold the Lamb concert series that he's traveling through. He'll be at the Virginia Theater on Saturday, December 9th. And you can purchase tickets at thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. But let's listen to another selection off his Behold the Lamb of God, the True Tall Tale of the Coming of Christ, 2-disc CD.
While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, an angel of the Lord came down. Glory shone around. Fear not, said he, for mighty dread had seized their troubled minds. Glad tidings of great joy I bring to you and all mankind.
a unique retelling of the Christmas story. That was Andrew Peterson with the selection While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks off his Behold the Lamb of God CD. And he'll present that selection along with a variety of other songs highlighting the Christmas story through the biblical account. He's coming to the Virginia Theater on Saturday, December 9th, and you can find out more at thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. We'll continue with this conversation as recorded recently on tomorrow, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.